Last week, an important paper on the results of a huge randomised trial of vitamin D supplementation was published in the New England Journal of Medicine. The accompanying editorial argued that for the vast majority of people, there was no rationale or evidence to support taking vitamin D supplements, even if your levels are low. One of the editorial's authors was Professor Stephen Cummings of the University of California, San Francisco. I spoke to him earlier.
It was a randomized trial comparing vitamin D, 2,000 international units per day, to a placebo in 26,000 people over the age of 50. And the trial had several components. This one was about fractures. The others have been about other major conditions, such as heart disease, cancer, stroke, diabetes, migraine headaches, many major diseases. In this trial, the fracture trial, vitamin D supplements did not reduce the risk of any type of fracture. There was absolutely no effect. And importantly, there was no effect in those people whose vitamin D level was low when they started. That means no effect in those who had what's called vitamin D deficiency, no benefit.
So the point you make in the editorial is that there's now almost no reason for taking vitamin D supplements.
Well, it's true that the same thing, no effect, has been found for every major disease. Heart disease, cancer, stroke, any of the major diseases. And in those cases, there was no benefit for those whose levels of vitamin D were low or deficient. So there is no justification that I can see for otherwise healthy or just ordinary people in the population to be taking vitamin D supplements.
Now, you can see why that argument might be for cancer and heart disease, because that was inferred from large studies. I think the University of California, San Diego did a large study, but it wasn't randomized, suggesting that it protected against bowel cancer and heart disease, but it's not really part of the known function of vitamin D. But bones are core business for vitamin D. Why would vitamin D supplements not work on fractures?
Yes, it was widely believed that because vitamin D has a role in absorbing calcium from the intestine, that it would therefore reduce the risk of fractures. The bones are, of course, made from calcium. But it turns out that vitamin D is not a vitamin. It's not something that's essential you get from your diet. Vitamin D is a hormone. Vitamin D that you take as a supplement is a prohormone, part of a system that the body tightly controls to make sure that it has enough of the active form of the vitamin. So taking vitamin D does not necessarily change that balance in a favorable way.
However, in people with dark skin, I mean, it's been shown, for example, in Melbourne that Sudanese migrants, women who live with their bodies entirely covered and don't get enough sun, get osteomalacia, their bones start to become weaker. Babies that are vitamin D deficient can get rickets. How do you tie in the two of those?
Severe deficiency, we're talking about levels less than 10, do cause osteomalacia. And people who are prone to it or have signs and symptoms of osteomalacia need to be treated with vitamin D in order to treat the osteomalacia. That's different. This is diagnosing and treating a disease. And in populations such as you describe, where osteomalacia or rickets is common, then that is a different story. That population needs a different attention. And it may be rational to diagnose osteomalacia. That's very different than other people, free-living people in the population, deciding that they need to take vitamin D supplements, free-living people whose tests show that they are deficient, less than 20 or 30. It doesn't work.
So the other implication in what you say is that vitamin D testing, there's not much point in that anymore in the general population. In fact, in Australia, we largely got rid of vitamin D testing a few years ago and saved about $400 million a year in costs. But you don't see a point in measuring the blood level of vitamin D if supplementation doesn't work.
If it doesn't work in people with levels that are high and it doesn't work in people whose levels are low, the result of the test is meaningless. Vitamin D testing is a waste of money. In the United States, we spend over $300 million on it every year. That money could go to better things.
So the book's closed now on vitamin D, apart from those high-risk populations we just mentioned.
There are other people at high risk that are known, for example, to endocrinologists, because they receive a drug that causes low calcium very quickly. And those osteoporosis drugs that have that effect should probably be accompanied by vitamin D for a few weeks. There are people who've had intestinal surgery and malabsorption. They have an unusual kind of physiology. They are different. Their vitamin D is a treatment, and vitamin D levels should be considered diagnostic. But vitamin D for prevention of major diseases, prevention of mortality, is just ineffective and shouldn't be done. If you look online, perhaps the most common thing that vitamin D is said to help or is promoted for is longevity. A longevity promoter, longevity supplement. And since it does not reduce the risk of mortality, then it is not useful for longevity.
Professor Cummings, thank you very much indeed for joining us.
It's a pleasure to have talked with you, and I hope that our conversation makes a difference.
Emeritus Professor Steve Cummings from the University of California, San Francisco.
Think bigger about the world we live in. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.